You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM broadcasting from Burnaby.
Cerebral talk and tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. You're tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam First Nations. And this episode of Typically Tuesdays was produced on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Catsey, Coquitlam, and Stolo First Nations. Here at Typically Tuesdays, we recognize the host nations as being the original storytellers and knowledge keepers of these lands. This week, January 21st to 8th, the world is striking in solidarity with Gaza to call for an immediate permanent ceasefire. We are disrupting business as usual. We're stopping the flow of the economy. We are stopping our labor, our studies. We are paying attention to, drawing attention to, and having meaningful conversations about the ongoing assault on Gaza by Israel, and we are demanding for the end of these assaults, demanding for a permanent, immediate ceasefire. The strike was called by Palestinian filmmaker journalist Bissan Ouda. You may have heard of her through her work documenting the genocide in Gaza. And I'm going to call it a genocide, even though Trudeau refuses to. Can't do anything about it. That is simply the opinion of the majority. So Bissan has reported for a number of news sites during the past 100 plus days about the living conditions of surviving Gazans. And in her individual work on her own social media pages, she updates her growing audience of Palestine conscious viewers every day with snippets of her neighbors, her teams, and her own daily life, starting each video with,
"Hey everyone, this is Bissan from Gaza. I'm still alive."
The documenting work that she and other journalists such as Mostaz Aiza, Palestia Alakad, Hind Kudari, and many others have given those living outside of the strip all around the world a unique, tender, and sometimes horrifying opportunity to develop parasocial bonds with those whose lives are in constant danger due to genocide. I'm reminded of how in my studies I was taught that one of the main reasons why the U.S. lost their war invading Vietnam was because the war was broadcasted on the ground, shocking and terrifying the world. We're in a similar place now, but that war appears much more intimate. Those relations seem much closer to us. And yet still, in spite of this, it has been over 100 days, and there has still been no ceasefire. "Hey everyone, it's Bissan from Gaza. I am still alive." Her followers and allies hope every day that we will hear those words, because we hope for the safety of all those under attack when a permanent ceasefire continues to echo cacophonously in the hollow chamber of inhumanity built by Israel and the U.S. empire. Bissan narrowly survived two targeted hospital attacks during this genocide. The first time, on November 3, 2023, when occupation forces performed an airstrike on El Shifa Hospital. Most recently, on January 17th, last week, she documented the real-time carpet bombings of the one remaining functioning hospital in Gaza, Nasser Medical Complex. In the 100 plus days since the genocide on Gaza, all 36 of Gaza's hospitals have become defunct due to targeted assaults. 36 hospitals. Human Rights Watch groups around the world, health authorities, reporters on the ground, survivors, and those standing in solidarity have been witness to not only the blatant attacks on Gaza during this time, but also the slow killings of those unable to access food, clean water, and medical attention because of the siege. And now all hospitals, which used to house the injured and survivors, all hospitals in Gaza are defunct. And the bombings continue. Bissan called for this week's strike after surviving the attacks on Nasser Medical Complex. It is clear as day that these assaults are systematized not only to slaughter civilians, but to also make living unbearable and painful and survival unimaginable. In solidarity with Bissan, Gaza, and Palestinians around the world, I urge you to please also participate in the ways that you can during this week's global strike. It is not too late to do so. Stop business as usual. Withhold your money and labor against those complicit in genocide. Stop that economic flow. If you can't withhold labor, participate in other engagements and show your solidarity in other ways. And talk to your coworkers about it. If you can't withhold your money because you didn't know that the strike was happening or need to purchase something suddenly, I encourage you to support a business that supports Palestine and commit to stopping shopping for the rest of the week. Join civic actions such as protests and vigils, and make sure to mask up when you do, because surveillance state and we're in the middle of a COVID surge. And also go with trusted community members. Flood the inboxes and voicemails of your government representatives and Trudeau. Hold Canada accountable for their call for a ceasefire. Demand that Canada support South Africa's case in the International Court of Justice invoking the Genocide Convention against Israel. And keep demanding for a ceasefire, the end of the siege on Gaza, and demand for commitment to support a free Palestine. Keep boycotting Starbucks, McDonald's, and Disney, and other companies found on the BDS website. There's a lot more we can do for Palestine and for Gaza. Let's explore all that we can, and let's do our best. This week's playlist is one featuring Palestinian artists and allies. We've got Bashir Murad's hot off the press EP, Nefas. We've got the whole thing. It's a short EP, and it's very poignant. We've also got local talent with Desiree Dawson featuring Mona Haidar. We've also got some classic songs of resistance and solidarity coming up later this hour, so stick around. First up, we've got Bashir Murad's cover of Maltini, which means homeland. This song was the unofficial national anthem of Palestine throughout the 20th century, and also adopted as a song of patriotism and struggle by many in the colonized Arab world. I hope it touches something within you. Here's Bashir. Maltini, Maltini, Al-Jalal wal-Jamal wal-Thana'u wal-Baha'u fi Rubak, fi Rubak, wal-Hayat.
taken away. A day will come when you will see all the children will be free. A day will come when you will see from the river to the sea, Palestine. Palestine will be free. The sun will set into peace from the west to the east. Palestine. Palestine will be free. I feel your tears, how far they run. I know the freedom will soon come. Every river, every tree, every child will be free. The moon will rise, a liberation song. The sun will rise, healing all that's wrong. I know our freedoms intertwined. You teach me freedom, Palestine. A day will come when you will see from the river to the sea, Palestine. Palestine will be free. The sun will set into peace from the west to the east, Palestine.
اللي دايما معمية من التفرج أطفال العالم الحرة دايما ضل بتدعرج للحياة المرة قوات نشاطين بس بتبهرج الكلام كلهم مخدين تخرج بتعرج الأوطان وإحنا نستعمل قوة عشان الضعف بنتحمل الموت عشان الحياة عملنا بلطف ومش بعسف للحياة انولدنا ولما لقيناها مش بيدينا جربنا نخدها فمتنا وكل اللي طلبنا كان نفس واللي ضحينا عشانه برضو كان نفس انت قولي ليش أطفال العالم حرة وأنا مالي أنا مالي حرية
وانا بديش اموت هاجرا وانا لساتي شايف الاحتلال مادد ايده مش للسلامه
مش مسواة بل تيديني حبل مشنقة كمان مش زرقة وجدار اللي فاصل هيني وبين حالي ما بخليني اشوف ضوي السماء الواحد وخمسين ولاية تربي كمان ولاية اللي تربى على حساب غيرها متأخرة من امها البنود الحمر متأملة تمحينا تغسل دماغنا تقولنا انه المشكلة هي احنا
حتى جيوش العالم كلها ما بيقدر على الحرية
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. My name is Leslie, and you just heard Dam with Mali Huli. I Don't Have Freedom. Before that was A Day Will Come by Desiree Dawson and Mona Haidar. This week is the global strike in solidarity for a ceasefire in Gaza week. And this was called by Bassan Auda, Palestinian filmmaker journalist from Gaza, after she narrowly survived Israel's bombing of Nasser Medical Complex, the last functioning hospital in Gaza. In action for this week, for the show, I'd like to share some very interesting stories of solidarity and stories of the role that art plays in times of global crisis, I guess. Recently, I read about how cartoonists in Italy and Japan, and now around the world as well, brought attention to Gaza to demand for a ceasefire. And they did it through inspiration from a Palestinian cartoon, Handala. What is Handala? Rather, who is he? Well, you might have seen images of him before, especially in the past 100 plus days, but also prominently if you have been on the Boycott Divestment Sanction website. He is a little boy with hair like a hedgehog's, tattered clothes, bare feet. He's got his hands clasped behind his back and his back turned to you. If you look him up, you'll probably recognize him. H-A-N-D-A-L-A. Handala first appeared in 1969 in the Kuwaiti newspaper Al-Siyasa. He was created by Palestinian political cartoonist Naji Al-Ali, and Al-Ali was born in El-Shajara, Palestine, in 1938. At 10 years old, his family was displaced in the first Nakba, and he spent much of his youth as a refugee in Lebanon. In adulthood, Al-Ali was politically active and imprisoned for several years. Eventually, after his release, he moved to Kuwait and in the late 60s began publishing in Al-Siyasa. Al-Ali's cartoons critiqued Israel, Arab regimes and the ruling class, and the U.S. empire. When Handala began making appearances in his work, the little boy became a symbol of Palestinian resistance, refugee consciousness, and eventually won against imperialism, and united people around the world against, quote, American ways, unquote. Always assertive about his beliefs, Al-Ali was eventually, unfortunately, assassinated in 1987 in London. His killer was never found. So what is it that Al-Ali wanted to say through Handala? Well, we can look back to how the cartoon is drawn to know. Actually, Al-Ali was, I don't think he was subtle about this at all. I guess in the way that political cartoonists don't tend to be subtle. The tattered clothes, the no shoes, his skinniness represent the impoverished refugee. From his very first appearance in 1969 to his very last in 1987, Handala is always portrayed as a 10-year-old. El Ali wanted to keep Handala as 10 years old to represent the age that he himself was displaced, and said that the cartoon will remain that age until he can return to Palestine. Only then can Handala begin to grow older. The little boy's back is turned to the audience, which represents his resistance against U.S. imperialism. He appears in cartoons depicting the apartheid state, war, political corruption, and displacement. Throughout El Ali's life, you'll see Handala change. At first, he is a small figure in the illustration, and a caricature representing a state or corruption will overwhelm the whole image with its hugeness. Later on, we begin to see the little boy in movement as he throws rocks against the grotesque figures of war and imperialism. But we never see his face. Throughout all the comics, we never do. His back is always facing us in unwavering resistance against empire. Handala showed the world Palestinian struggles, displacement, colonization, poverty, and Palestinians' resistance. Even after his creator's death, he remains a powerful symbol of such and of the Palestinian cultural value of steadfastness. Now, in this time of global crisis and humanitarian disaster, standing in solidarity with their backs turned to us with Handala are other characters from all across the world. More about this after the music break. Here's some more Bashar Murad, Yalil.